Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word and cause us to grow and be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you will bless the preacher, that he will bring your word, the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, let us hear your word, understand your word, let us believe, and let us obey your word. Bless us, God, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll finish this verse today. And I believe there are seven more sermons, and we're done with Colossians, and we'll go to Psalms. And before we go to Psalm, I'm still deciding on how many times I'll do this, but at least once. I will show the difference between the blessings of the Old Testament and the blessings of the New Testament. Maybe more than once, but because Psalms, the blessings are expressed in terms of worldly things. And obviously that is so because it's Old Testament. And I need to show you then what is the difference. And I want you to clearly understand that before we go to Psalms. But I'm not going to do too many times. Once or twice. So we come to verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. And we saw that last time. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. This is command. Devote yourselves to prayer. The eternal fellowship with our God is our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We pray ceaselessly to witness that reality. We are called to devote ourselves to prayer. We are called to never give up and never be discouraged. Why? Answer is that Jesus Christ is coming back. That's the answer to all of our problems. That Jesus is coming back. God coming is the answer. But he has already come. That's why, in one sense, we don't have any problems anymore. You just wait. You will see that you will not have any problems. And that's the fact. That is the truth. And, you know, I jokingly say, you know, die and you will see that what I'm saying is true. But don't die. And we are called to participate in Jesus' life because his life was a life of ceaseless prayer. Even now, Jesus in heaven is praying always for us. He devotes himself to prayer. So, just like any other command in the Bible, God is telling us to be like Christ. And that's the whole focus, is to be like Christ. Today we are looking at the latter half of this verse 2, keeping alert in it, in prayer, with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, first, we are to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. You are to pray with thanksgiving. It's not that you pray and you see God answering your prayer, so now you give thanksgiving. That's not what the Bible is saying. Even before God answers your prayer, even you begin to pray, you start with thanksgiving. Because just the fact that you are able to pray to God and God will hear your prayer, you need to understand how blessed you are. Why would He, God, hear our prayers? I mean, I don't like to bring examples, the worldly examples, but, you know, if your neighbor's dog barks, do you have urge to really hear him barking? What are we to God that He will hear our prayers? That you have confidence that when you pray that He will hear. See, just the fact that we are praying to God and God hears our prayers shows we are so blessed in Jesus Christ. We are to remember what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us even as we begin to pray to God. You know, even in the world, you go to a beautiful place or wonderful place and you open your mouth and even before you could speak, you have to wait a while. You go, wow! And you're coming to our glorious God and with an understanding of all the heavenly blessings that you possess. If you truly understand and know what happened to you, and because of what happened to you, how you are now, what kind of person you are in Christ, I don't think we will be able to speak for a very long time because we're so amazed. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Even as we pray, knowing all these things, how could there be any grumbling or complaining? If we truly understand what has already been given to us in Jesus Christ, what will we ask more? I mean, it's like somebody gave you $1 trillion and you come to him and say, give me a dollar. It's like that. It's just so ridiculous, actually. We just don't know how much he has already given us. And we always feel that we're lacking. That somehow God is not giving. That's why Paul said, he who gave his son, he who did not spare his son, why would he withhold anything from you? And if that's your attitude as you come, your attitude, you know, that somehow he's withholding things from me. That he needs to give me this or give me that. Bible says you should not come to God like that. You should come with thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving. And God is not asking you to pretend that you receive so much and you're so grateful. No, God is telling you to truly know what has been given to you already. Because if you know, then automatically you will give thanksgiving. I mean, that's just how it will be. And if we truly see the amazing grace that he has poured out to us, the only thing we could do is to thank our God. We're too quick to speak as we come to God. But our focus on that verse is this today. It says to keep alert in prayer. And this phrase, keep alert, is very important phrase because our Lord Jesus Christ has used this so many times. And Paul and everybody else who wrote the Bible is using this phrase because our Lord emphasizes on this phrase. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 through 36. But of that day or hour, he's talking about his return. Of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening at midnight or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. There are so many times our Lord spoke similar things. Because as far as Bible is concerned, the Christian life is a life that is lived in terms of preparing for his return. And if you're not living that kind of life, if you are not living your life in terms of waiting for his return, then you still don't get it, still don't know what the gospel is about. We don't live our lives expecting things of this world to get better in your life, or this problem will be solved tomorrow, or that problem, you know, a couple days later. Or that you will get raised, or you will go to better school, or whatever it might be. They're all secondary. Your focus has to be his return. That's what the Bible teaches. And yet, how many of us, I mean, including myself, of course, how many of us live that way? And today, I would like all of us to think about this. Our Lord gave all of us the tasks concerning his kingdom. God says that you are to be his witness to the ends of the earth. I mean, I could read to you whole Bible. You will not find Bible telling you, you know, be good student, be good doctor, be good whatever. No, be his witness, whatever you might be. So focus is not just being a doctor, but in being a doctor, that you be his witness. But it doesn't have to be doctor. It could be anything, but you are to be his witness. That's the task that he has given you. He never asked you to succeed in this world or make this much money or have this kind of house. He never told you anything like that. But he told us to be his witness. I don't know what some of us are thinking that he told us or asked us to do. But you have to make it clear. What did God say to us? And these tasks concerning his kingdom, we are to do them diligently. And in order for us to do that diligently, we need to be on the alert. Luke has the similar passage, chapter 12 of Luke, verse 45 and 46. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Oh, beautiful passage. See, the world will scoff at this. You know, how can you live as a slave whose master might be come back any time and you have to be on alert? And what kind of life is that? And I tell you what kind of life it is. It's a Christian life. Matthew chapter 25 tells us of a parable concerning 10 bridesmaids, 10 virgins. Verse 5, now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Verse 25, verse 10 through 13, and while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. I mean, in those passages that I read, how many times does our Lord Jesus repeat the phrase, be on the alert? We are God's people who are waiting eagerly for our Lord's return. We are always on the alert. We are not the ones who are sleeping. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come like just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child. And they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. You are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. See, brothers and sisters, you heard probably many times that Jesus will come just like a thief at a night. Thief in the night. But Bible actually says that for us Christians, that they would not overtake us like a thief. Why? Because we are continually waiting for him. I mean, think about it. Every single day you live your life in terms of waiting for our Lord, that you continually look out for his return. Why would you be surprised when you see him coming? It's when you do not think about his coming and that you are distracted with all these other things, you will be surprised. But if you, every single day, waiting for him, not only you will not be surprised, you will be so happy to see him come. Thus, for Christians, that day will not come like a thief. And it, that passage says, those who are sleeping are the children of darkness. In the Bible, sleep is the symbol of death. People who are sleeping are the ones who do not have the hope of Jesus' return. There is no master who is going to come back to check on them. So why do they care as far as they're concerned? So they do not have the hope of Jesus' coming. There are so many people who do not have the hope of Jesus' return. And they are the ones who are sleeping. No hope of heaven. Their whole focus is on the earth, here, right now. And they flat out said, I don't care about future. What I care about is here and now. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. People think you're a Christian, but you are dead. You're not. And to these people, Jesus says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But if you are awake, then he will not come as a thief. You and I have been resurrected from the dead. What does this mean? We have been awakened. We are awake. That's what it means to be resurrected from the dead. Sleeping in the Bible is a symbol of death. So you are awakened from sleeping, you're resurrected. And the people who are resurrected from the dead, meaning Christians, Because we're awake, we are on the alert. Paul, as he concludes this letter, he commands Christians to be on the alert in prayer. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 14. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We participate in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no night in heaven, nor sleeping in heaven. We are awakened. We must believe. You must stay awake. And how do we do that? We must stay awake by praying always. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, you know, when non-Christians hear this, what do you think their reaction will be? Oh, Jesus is coming. Be on the alert. It's nonsense to them. But I'm wondering if you ignore his return as much as non-Christians. That, according to the Bible, it's not proper. Let's ask ourselves, do we ignore his return as much as non-Christians as we live every day? This is really very wrong. But brothers and sisters, I'm not saying, and Bible is not saying, staying up, staying awake is easy. Actually, it's very, very hard. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 34. They came to a place named Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. Keep on the alert. Keep watch. Same. Right before Jesus' death at the Mount Gethsemane, he's praying to God. He says to his disciples, while I go pray, you stay on the alert and continue to pray. Chapter 14, verse 37, and he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. What do we see from that passage? The truth is that you and I, we just do not have the ability, do not have the strength to stay awake. That's the fact. And I'm not asking you determined to stay awake and good luck to you. I mean, that's not the gospel. You must understand that you cannot do this on your own strength. Look at the disciples. 3 times, Jesus says, stay awake, continue to pray. He goes to pray. Come back, they're sleeping. Again and again. And in those disciples, we see ourselves. Look at, through this sermon, through this preaching, God telling you to stay alert. And as soon as you go out the door, you're going to be sleeping. And I'm not talking about physical sleeping. We're talking about spiritual sleeping. You're going to forget about Jesus' return. And you're going to just go about your business as if he's not coming back. And you might come back next week or week after, and God, through this preaching, will tell you, stay awake. And then you're going to go out and you're going to sleep again. And you're going to come back and hear God telling you, stay on the alert. And you're going to sleep again. Just like these disciples. Our determination, our preparedness will never do. Then are we doomed? Is there no hope for us? Matthew 26, verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. The disciples cannot do it. You and I cannot do it. But the gospel is this. See who is awake and stays awake to pray. Who is that? It's your Lord, Jesus Christ. You and I who will sleep. But he stays awake and prays. Even now in heaven, he never goes to sleep and he prays for you. He prays for me. He is our hope. Do you understand the gospel? If I tell you to go and you have to stay awake and do your best, that's not the gospel. Because you can't. Look at these disciples. They didn't. They couldn't. So what makes us think we could? It's all about your determination, right? It's just that you did not determine yet. That's the problem. But as soon as you determine, it's okay now. No. Our hope is Jesus Christ. And you and I, we need to hold on to him. Trust him. In the book of Luke, we see him praying so fervently that his sweat becomes blood. And I don't know how this could be medically explained, but he prays so fervently, sweat becomes blood. And he prays in your place. He prays the prayer you should pray. He prays. He prays instead of you. He prays in your place. He prays the things that we should pray always, but we're so ignorant, we're so lazy, we're so sinful to pray. But he prays. That's our hope. You and I have been invited to participate in this life, his life of ceaseless prayer. Just like everything else, our Lord Jesus has already accomplished this for all of us. That's why God commands us. See, when you hear God commands you anything, you need to first understand it means that Jesus has already obeyed it for you. Otherwise, then his command to you, it just says, go die forever. That's all he's saying. You have to approach this command with faith that Jesus has already obeyed for you. Otherwise, then because of that command, you will die forever because you will never be able to obey it if Jesus did not obey for you. Do you understand the gospel, brothers and sisters? This is very, very important. This is why his command is never a burden to us. It's delight to us. You know, I had so much hard time in the beginning of my Christian life, you know, many, many years ago. You know, there were many passages that gave me headache all night long and just could not, you know, understand what God is trying to tell me. And so I couldn't go to sleep and I'm trying to understand. And one of them was this, that you know, the psalm, the writer of Psalms says that your law, God's law, is sweeter than honeycomb. And I'm like, his law, his commands are sweeter than honey? How? Because back then, all of his command was burden to me. Because he's telling me to do these things, and I know I cannot do this. So I was never happy. There was no peace in my heart until I understand the gospel. Jesus Christ has obeyed it. And my job is to be like Christ as much as possible. My job is to imitate Christ in obeying much as possible. Even when I fail, I already have the obedience of Christ that God is not going to condemn me. He's not going to punish me with that eternal punishment. But I get another chance to obey as much as possible, to participate in his life, to imitate him as much as possible. That's my focus. And it's my joy to imitate him, joy to participate. But if it is my responsibility to obey fully, then it's not joy anymore. Because it will kill me forever. But it is joy. Because Jesus has obeyed it. Even now he's praying. He never goes to sleep. We need to witness the reality that our Lord has accomplished already. He wakes us up. He has already awakened us. Yes, you and I are already resurrected from the dead in him. And he continuously wakes us up. So don't see him coming back to these disciples, telling them, get up, as something that is negative. We want him to continually come back to us and tell us to get up. And he will. He will always come back. Even that kind of language is wrong, right? He never leaves us. But he will wake us up faithfully. Because he has already waken us up. That he caused our resurrection from the dead. In heaven, we will never sleep. Our focus in our lives of keeping alert in prayer is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we must stay awake. We must be on the alert. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13a, be on the alert. Stand firm in faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Jesus says to you, Luke chapter 22, verse 46, and said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the life of being on the alert is the life whose focus is on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a life of the watchman. Isaiah 52, verse 8, listen, your watchmen, lift up their voices. You shout, they shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. It's good news to telling us to stay awake like a watchman, because you and I, we will see our Lord coming. To save His people, you. Our Lord desires us to stay up and continually have the loving fellowship with us. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, learning, leaning on her love, beloved? Beneath the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you. There she was in labor and gave you birth. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Love between you and your Lord. Strong as death itself. The fire, very flame of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many waters cannot quench this. The rivers cannot overflow it. And we are waiting for that husband, our love. It's not just staying awake for any other things, but it's staying awake for our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us then stay awake, keeping alert in prayer, as we continually having loving fellowship with our God, as we eagerly wait for His return. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your love for us. And thank You for waking us up. And we thank You that You faithfully wake us up again and again and again. Let us stay alert in prayer as we eagerly wait for Your return. We love You, God. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.